Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth, writes the psalmist. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courtyards with praise. It is good to gather together today. Welcome to this service of worship. Whether you're in person, joining us on Zoom or online at some point this week, it is good to gather together to worship God. I invite you, for those who are here, to grab those pew pads, pass those along, and check out the information in there on all the different things that are coming up. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to let us know about, there are cards for that. If you're interested in finding out what membership is about, indicate on those pew pads or let us know in the office so we can get you some more information on that. I do want to lift up prayers for family of Dick Van Pelt. He passed away on Friday morning. We are waiting for some more information and more details. We'll pass those along. He had a stroke a couple weeks ago and has been in decline here, especially this last week. So I want to keep his family in our prayers. As we gather together for worship today, we gather together with some uncertainty. We gather together with great certainty. We know that we are here. We know that Christ will come again. Today is a day at the end of the Christian calendar year. It's called the Festival of Christ the King, Christ the King Sunday. It was established as a festival back in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. It marks the end of our Christian calendar year. So you could celebrate New Year's Eve on Saturday night if you want to, before Advent. It brings our focus on the crucified and risen Christ, whom God exalted to rule over the entire universe. In the companion to the Common Book of Worship, they write, "As sovereign ruler, Christ calls us to a loyalty that transcends every earthly claim of the human heart. To Christ alone belongs the supreme allegiance in our lives. Christ calls us to stand with those who in every age confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. In every generation, demagogues emerge to claim an allegiance that belongs only to God, but Christ alone has the right to claim our highest loyalty. The blood of martyrs, past and present, witnesses to this truth." Those words, may we encounter this truth today. Thinking about the banner stands here with Christina, and I was going to say Christina, Alicia, getting names mixed up. We're going to be celebrating and dedicating some new banner stands. We've got new Bibles, but we've also got new lanyards.
Good morning. As some of you may already have seen, the worship team ordered some custom-made First Presbyterian lanyards. They come in blue and red. We're selling them for $5 a piece, and the proceeds from the sale, it's going to be utilized to buy new in-ear monitors to be utilized during worship service. And the lanyards make a great stocking stuffer gift for everyone, as it's all the fashion to hang your work or school ID or car keys from it. So if you're interested, see any one of the worship team members for assistance, and thank you for your continued support, and go Pack Go!
Speaking of those demagogues that emerge, as we worship God, as we celebrate the fact that Christ is King, may we encounter the truth of Christ being our risen Lord, represented by the light of Christ being brought forward as we open our hearts to the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit and worship the God of all gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and join me in our responsive call to worship. The King of Kings is raised in glory. He sits at the throne at the right hand of God. Come, let us worship and bow down to the Lord our Creator. Let us offer praise to Christ our Redeemer. Amen. We come this day rejoicing in the presence of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. At his birth, the angels proclaimed his name to be Emmanuel, God with us. Today, in this place, in this time of worship, may we truly feel the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. May our hearts and spirits be warmed and challenged to proclaim with our lives, Christ is Lord. Amen. While there are many with power in our world, power to hurt us, power to hire or fire us, power to control us, only God has the power to forgive us and make us new people. Let us confess how we fear the power of the world and welcome the power of God's grace. The choices we make, mighty God, reveal who we are, choosing the lies of the world. Your word has not been on our lips. Choosing independent and isolated lives, we do not reflect your spirit in our actions toward others. Choosing to exalt the power of our day, we are unable to follow the one whose weakness gives us life. Let us take a few moments to offer our personal silent confessions. Forgive us, God. Not turn your face from us, but help us to face ourselves honestly. Free us from our captivity, so we may faithfully follow Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our Savior.
The Lord made a covenant with King David, promising faithfulness to his descendants. In Christ, we have a new covenant assuring us forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace. In Christ, our true King, our lives are made whole. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
invite you to share the peace of Christ with others. Our creative arts group has been making more and more banners for different events during times of worship, whether it be a welcome sign that we have on a banner over there, whether it be about God's word for presenting Bibles, as we're doing today, for funerals, for baptisms, all sorts of different things. And we had one brass stand for hanging those on, and so we were picking which one should we use, and we thought, well, we should buy some more. And then we found out that those stands are $800 to $1,000 each. And we went, should we? And we thought, well, let's take a look at some wooden ones. Those must be much more reasonable. And they were more reasonable, but half the price. And then as we were discussing that, Christina volunteered her services and said, you know, I love doing woodworking. I haven't done it for a while. Let me give it a shot. And so she started in on it and started recruiting help of Dave Erickson, John Zorn, Jim Prosser. And between all of them working together, they've been able to come up with these two new banner stands for us here. So we thank you to all of them. Yet another way of being able to take the gifts that God has given to us and to use them for the service of God's church. So I'd like to have us join together in this litany of banner dedication. What is this place? This place is only a building, but when we gather here, God's name is praised. What are these things? The things in this place are only materials produced from this world, but combined together in this place with God-given skills, they serve us as we praise God's name. We give thanks for all those who contributed in various ways to design and build these banner stands. May we, too, be instruments that proclaim your word, O God, with our mouths and with our lives, as we ask questions, exercise creativity, and wonder at your mysteries. We dedicate these banner stands to the glory of God, pointing our attention to God's holy word, to our living of God's word, as we go from here inspired, challenged, comforted, or wondering. May we remember that as you call us, O God, you send us. As we are called to this place, it is to be sent out again to proclaim your word with our lives, to engage your word with our minds and hearts, and to live your word with our whole selves. We pray this dedication in the name of Jesus our Lord, Son of God and Son of a Carpenter, who took simple things and helped us to see God. Amen. May this be an encouragement for everyone to see new opportunities, to think outside the box and say, what if? What about? And to use the gifts, the passions that God has given to you for the glory of God.
Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 93. The Lord rules. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, clothed with strength. Yes, he set the world firmly in place. It won't be shaken. Your throne is set firm for a very long time. You are eternal. Lord, the floods have raised up. The floods have raised up their voices. The floods raise up a roar. But mightier than the sound of much water, mightier than the sea's waves, mighty on high is the Lord. Your laws are so faithful. Holiness decorates your house, Lord, for all time.
On this Christ the King Sunday, the Revised Common Lectionary gives to us a reading from John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, reading that takes us back to the end of Jesus' life here on earth as he was falsely accused and arrested and stands before Pilate. Reading from John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 33. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you are a king," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Doesn't want to sit on the step with us today. There we go. Well, did you hear today is Christ the King Sunday? It's a pretty big day in the church, kind of like New Year's Eve, because next week is when we start our new year, and that is Advent. And what do you know about kings? Anything? What do you know about kings? What do kings wear? Big shirts, maybe. Long robes, maybe. Yeah. Anything on their heads? What do they wear on their heads? A crown. Usually there's a crown. Sometimes there's more than one. Usually they're full of jewels. Yeah, I have some pictures up there. And how do you become a king? What happens that you become a king? Okay, so sometimes kings did things like stopped a war and then they became. Sometimes they did things that weren't so nice too and then they became the king, right? Sometimes kings are, you have to be born into a certain family to be a king, right? So did Jesus wear a crown like this? What kind? No, he didn't, did he? Did Jesus wear special robes? This is a nice robe, but this isn't a robe like a king would wear. What kind of a crown? I don't know that Jesus wore a crown, but he did have somebody else put a crown on his head. Do you remember what that was? I have a picture of it in the middle, and it's also on this banner right here. Do you see that? It was a crown of thorns. It wasn't very nice to wear. It was very pokey, and if you imagine if it was pokey on your head, and somebody put that on his head to kind of make fun of him, right? Yeah. So how do kings, regular kings, get all their stuff? People give them all that stuff, right? Or they maybe have a war and get their stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And so does Jesus have a lot of stuff? Did he have a lot of stuff? No, he didn't, did he? What does Jesus want from us? To be kind, right? Respect for other people, right? Bless other people, give other people the things that they need, share the things we have with other people. So Jesus was a different kind of king, wasn't he? He wasn't the kind of king that we think of when we think of kings. He was the kind of king who wants to be the king of our hearts, right? He didn't want to be famous. That's a good thought. But he did want people to know about him, didn't he? Does Jesus want us to tell other people about him? He does. And do you know why that is? Not so that Jesus could get riches, but Jesus wants other people to know him so that they can live in heaven with him, that they can know his love and share his love with other people. So we do want him to become famous, don't we? But for a good way, so that we can share that love with other people. You're right. He didn't want to become famous so he could be more important. He wanted to be more famous so that other people could know his love. Right. You're right. So Jesus wants to be the king of our hearts and our lives, and he is the most wonderful kind of king. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us love. Right? And that's pretty awesome. Well, let's thank God for Christ the King and all that that brings. Loving God, we thank you so much for the kind of king who doesn't want gold or power or treasure, but the king who wants our hearts and our love. We thank you for a king who wants to give everything that is good to his people. We thank you for having Christ the King go to the cross for us, each one of us, to wash away our sins. We thank you for the love that you pour out on us each and every day, and we ask that you would help us to make Jesus famous all over, that everyone would know his love and his word, and that they would be able to live with him in heaven. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
At this time of the service, this is one of the most exciting things for me as a pastor. It ranks maybe right below baptisms, confirmation, things like, well, maybe, you know, borderline confirmation, I don't know. Giving out new Bibles, the Word of God. We give these out today to third graders and above. We're part of the church. And back in April, we handed out 6 Bibles. Today, we've got 7 more Bibles. I invite those youth that are receiving a Bible today to come forward up here around this table as we have all the Bibles out here. And I want you to notice, I want to share with you that this is a Bible that I received when I was about 9 years old from church, and this is a Bible that I received when I was confirmed into the church, and I still have these. They've gotten kind of worn. I've had several others since then, and I also have a Bible that was my dad's and a Bible that was my mom's. So I know a couple of you have mentioned, you know, that your parents' Bibles are at home and you use those once in a while. These are special to us, and I want you to take care of them, to read them, but I want them to, you know, get really worn out so that you have to get another one. So we have to give you another one at some point. That would be great. That goes for everybody here. Are your Bibles really worn, or maybe they're a little bit dusty? I've got a couple of them that are dusty, but as we hand out these Bibles, I want us to be able to join together in the presentation litany that we have here, and I'll invite youth as much as you're able as I step over here. I think is this. Why don't you guys come on out here and everybody can have them. So we want to present these Bibles to you and be able to bless these Bibles and to dedicate them to further your faith so that you can grow, so that you can learn, you can ask deep, tough questions about who God is and about how you can be more and more like Christ and serving Christ and allowing Jesus Christ to be King, to rule your life. So I invite you, if you can see on the screens one side or the other, to join with. I'll read with you, and Jennifer will, and the congregation will read their part as well. So the congregation can begin here. Receive the word of God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, read these words with curiosity and listen with openness. Learn God's stories and study God's word. God's stories connect to us all, telling us who we are and that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. This is for you. We receive these Bibles with our hands, our hearts, and our minds. We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. We promise to read these words with you, to listen to your questions, to share our ideas, and be honest about our questions. We want to grow with you in faith and knowledge. As you read your Bible, we pray that you will remember how deeply you are loved by God and all of us. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. Bless these Bibles and the youth receiving them. May the stories of your holy word guide them as they grow in faith. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of their hearts as they study your word. May they encounter the risen Christ as they read. May they learn to tell others how you continue to guide and heal and love them, giving hope to another generation. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is truth? Words of Pilate. I find it both comforting and also frustrating that we cannot know with any certainty what Pilate meant when he asked this question. We don't know what Pilate truly meant when he asked, "Are you king of the Jews?" We don't truly know what he meant when Pilate replied, "So you are a king." We don't know the tone of his voice. Is that the inflection that he used? Or maybe he said, "So you are a king. So you are a king. So you are a king. So you are a king." Was it really a question? Was it more of a statement? Was it a little of both? Did Pilate say in frustration and disgust, "What is truth? You are the truth. What is truth?" Or did Pilate say in acknowledging, with maybe a little bit of a smirk, that Jesus had just provided him with a way out of this political predicament that he had found himself in between the Roman government and the Jewish people? What is truth? Thank you, Jesus. What is truth? We don't know the full extent to the answers of these questions. Commentators, theologians, scholars have provided all sorts of insights, possibilities. But isn't it amazing that still, what is truth? What is truth? Well, maybe we need to look at what truth is not. Truth is not simply that which is believed. Somebody can believe a lie, and it's still a lie. It's not the truth. Truth is not simply what the majority says is true. If I convince a simple majority to go along with a lie, it's still a lie. It's not the truth. Truth is not simply whatever seems to work. That's the philosophy of pragmatism. Lies can appear to work for quite a while. They can even provide some sort of success or perceived success, but yet they're still lies. They're not the truth. They're not what's right. In a culture that's infected with relativism and pluralism, there's no absolute truth in our world. All forms of truth are equal, it appears. The truth of God taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, coming into this world as a helpless child, resisting all temptations, emptying himself of divinity, and willingly being executed on a cross so that you and I and everyone created in the image of God might be able to enter into God's eternal presence. That truth, which it is truth, it's impossible for many to grasp. It's impossible, if we're truly honest with ourselves, for us to grasp its entirety. That truth is not rational. That truth, the truth of Jesus, it's seen by many as a lie. So what is truth? What is this truth that Jesus came into the world to testify? Jesus says, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. My kingdom isn't from here." Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And truth in John's gospel is a reality. It's God's reality. Which, if you read that opening chapter of John's gospel, it's a reality that just makes us scratch our head and go, "Let me read that again. What?" Truth is God's kingdom here on earth. It's not up to you or me to establish Christ's kingdom here on earth. It's not the role, it's not the duty of any human being or even that collective set of all human beings as the body of Christ, the church universal, to establish Christ's kingdom on earth. Christ's kingdom, the kingdom of truth, has already been established in part. And we eagerly, actively await with hope the fullness of Christ's kingdom being revealed with the renewal of all creation when Christ returns. It's that already, but not yet. In part, but not fully. Through a veil, we see things. We are to live out the realities of truth. The realities of Christ's kingdom are the things that we're supposed to live out. Truth, as Jesus states it here, isn't so much about determining right versus wrong, but living in a way that we point one another to God and we point ourselves to God. Living out the realities of truth is about living sacrificial lives, like Jesus did when he ate with sinners and tax collectors, when he met with the woman at the well and offered her living water rather than condemnation, when he welcomed the little children when everybody around was saying, "Oh, don't be bothered," when he healed the lame and the blind, when he willingly was executed on the cross, even as he sweat tears of blood and blood poured out of his pores. It's being sacrificial. It's relatively easy for us to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ when everybody around us is claiming that same thing. That is part of being in a Christian world. And in some ways, maybe we've gotten a little bit too complacent in our faith. It's exciting to claim to be a follower of Jesus when it makes you seem important or to give you some sense of power. There are many clergy that have gone into ministry for that purpose. They found a way that they can use the skills of this world to gain some importance rather than being sacrificial, living out the kingdom. And we all do that in one way or another. I'm not immune to it myself. But what happens when the truth of Christ is in opposition to the popular ways of the world? We encounter that more and more and have to navigate some of these uncertain waters ahead of us. And that is the story of the early church that we can learn much from. That first century church, the first century Christians, they made no attempt to conquer the lies of the world by reacting defensively, blow by blow, debating, using tactics of human origin to prove that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Instead, they fought with weapons that didn't originate from this world. Their weapons were weapons of love, compassion, serving others. They prayed and they proclaimed in word and deed the message of the gospel. They lived out the truth in spite of what was being claimed against them. Martyrs throughout the ages have had to claim the truth of Christ against much louder voices. As a result, these Christians dramatically impacted their world. In the end, they prevailed. In retrospect, when we look back to Rome, is Rome still a world power? Not in that same way. How many of us remember more than just a few names of the great emperors of Rome? For the most part, we don't remember very many. But we remember Jesus Christ. The Roman Empire came and went. Other empires come and go. But Jesus Christ remains. John Calvin wrote, "We see that everything which is earthly and of the world is temporary and soon fades away." He also wrote in his Institutes of the Christian Religion, "The kingdom is spiritual, not material. We must therefore know that the happiness which is promised to us in Christ does not consist in external advantages, such as leading a joyful and tranquil life, abounding in wealth, being secure against all injury, and having an affluence of delights, such as the flesh is wont to long for, but properly belongs to the heavenly life." So what is truth? Truth is more than simply claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Truth is living like Jesus, loving and serving others. Truth is willingness, a willingness to not be in control. Truth is being able to admit that we were wrong. That's called confession, repentance. Truth is letting go of that which gives us power and position and putting our trust in the power of God. Truth is learning to be thankful for all things, to be thankful for each moment that we have, for we don't know what tomorrow brings. Truth is seeing that all that God has entrusted to us as a means to be a blessing for others, not a false sense of security for ourselves. Truth is learning to see Jesus in all of those around us, not just the people that are like us. To see Jesus in the outcast, the marginalized of society. To see Jesus in the person who believes the opposite of me. To see Jesus even in the eyes of my enemy. To trust that Jesus is King and has power over all. To see Jesus in the person who's hurt us in one way or another. That's truth. Truth is allowing that unconditional love of God, which has been given to us in the power of the cross, to not simply be contained in our hearts and to say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross," but to allow that to then flow through us in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be shown to all those that God places in our path, even those that we may not like. We still need to learn to love them as Christ loves us. Truth is more than determining right over wrong. Truth is about living like Jesus. May we follow the call and the command of Jesus Christ and commit our lives to the truth of the kingdom. May the truth of Jesus Christ be evident in all that we say and do to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Part of the truth of living in God's kingdom and living out the ways of Jesus are to gather together in prayer, to pray for one another. It's not simply for the professional prayer to offer prayers, but it's for all of us to lift one another up. It's part of the reason we have a prayer list, to lift up the joys, the concerns, to know that God is answering our prayers and to journey together in those times when the answers that we get aren't the answers that we expected. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you allow us to be a blessing to others. We thank you for giving us your truth, the truth that it isn't about a checklist of do's and don'ts in our life. In order to be in your presence, but the truth that we simply need to believe that you are God, that you love us, you forgive us, and that you empower us. Holy Spirit, wash over us, wash away all that we take from this world and use to taint your kingdom's image. Allow us to see the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of grace, through your eyes. We pray for all those who are heavy on our hearts. Those prayers that have been spoken, those prayers that are silent. Lord, you know the prayers and the concerns and the joys of our hearts. Continue to be with us as we end this Christian calendar year and begin a new year, the season of Advent. Allow us to recommit ourselves to not only encounter you as that cute, beautiful little baby in the manger, whitewashed by so much of our world, but to see you for who you are, in all your simplicity, in your sacrifice, in your unending compassion. Lord, help us to not contain your forgiveness. Allow us to let your forgiveness overflow our hearts. As we gather together here in this country for Thanksgiving, we lift up those who are traveling. We lift up those who are in awkward situations with family members. We lift up those who are unable to be with family for so many reasons. Lord, allow us to know that we are your family. Allow us to know that all those you place in our path are part of your family in which we have been adopted. And allow us to truly give you thanks by turning our lives back over to you, that we might show your unity, even as we pray the prayer that you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite Lori to come up and to share some information on some events coming up here with our church family.
Good morning. By a show of hands, who's going to travel this holiday season to visit family? There you go. I want you to imagine that you are driving down the highway and it's snowing. I mean, it is Wisconsin. And the next thing you know, there's a horrible accident. And one of your loved ones is injured. And they need a blood transfusion because they have significant injuries and they're bleeding. They get them to the hospital, but you know what? It's the holiday season. And a lot of people don't donate blood during the holiday season. We're busy, we're preparing for the holidays, we're Christmas shopping, we're baking, we're decorating. But it's a time of year when blood donations are needed more than ever. It doesn't even take an hour to donate a unit of blood. And we're going to be having a blood donation on December 16th here. So I ask that you please consider, if you have an hour of your day, that you can come out and sign up. You can sign up out in the narthex. You can sign up online on our website to consider donating a unit of blood. We all have some extra flowing through our veins. And it's a gift that certainly keeps on giving to those in need. We're also going to be serving at Loaves and Fishes on December 18th. It is a wonderful opportunity to donate some baked cookies if you can't make it to help serve. If you can make it to help serve, it is a great time to have the camaraderie with the other church members, get to know people a little more. It's a lot of fun. It really is. If you can't do that, like I said, you can just bake some cookies and drop them off. And if you're not up to baking cookies, drop off a bag of Oreos. That's okay too. We're also going to be having the joy offering coming up. The joy offering is, we're really blessed to have Pastor Craig here. We have a wonderful leader to help bring us through our Christian beliefs and faith, our questions, but not all communities have that. The joy offering, those funds go to help support our leaders in our church areas. It also offers development for communities of color by providing support for Presbyterian church workers in their time of need. So if you are so inclined, please consider giving to the joy offering. Thank you.
Invite the handbell choir to come forward. They offer yet another gift that God has blessed them with. Invite the ushers to come forward. I invite us all to place ourselves in the offering plates as a sacrifice, recommitting our lives to Christ and offering back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us so that God's kingdom might be furthered here on earth.
Thank you.
we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us. Take these, our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, our very selves. Bless them and use them to further your kingdom here on earth in your miraculous ways. Amen. As we leave this sanctuary, this place, we go out into the world. Out in the narthex are many opportunities for you to sign up, to be able to live the truth of Jesus Christ, to further God's kingdom in many small ways. I invite you, if nothing else, to go into the fellowship hall, to sit down, to connect and deepen those relationships with one another. As we come to the end of this Christian year, this Saturday, deacons will be in here transforming everything into the beauty of Advent and Christmas. If you're wanting to get a poinsettia yet, next Sunday is the deadline, so make sure you get that in. And next Sunday, we will begin a new Christian year as we begin the season of Advent, beginning to celebrate the birth of Christ as we celebrate with expectant hope the return of Christ as well. Remember, it's not enough to simply claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and King. We need to live like Jesus, loving and serving others. God commands us to live out his kingdom ways with a living testimony for those whom God places in our path. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord, being an example of joyfully serving God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, take the light of Christ out into a darkened world.